Well, are you glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning? Praise God. We are delighted to have you with us today. Amen, amen, amen. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. While I was reading, you know, the 30-30 challenge, while I was reading Isaiah chapter 53, one of the things that the Lord just kind of spoke about into my heart, not only does that chapter talk about Christ's coming, and talk about how he would, you know, how he would be crucified. It was a prophecy that was given to Isaiah. It spoke about the coming of the Lord and how that he would be crucified, how that he would be wounded and afflicted for our transgressions. And all we like sheep have gone astray, told us about us even. But the thing that really got to me was the historical understanding to know that that portion of prophecy was written about 700 years before Jesus was ever born. Amen. Amen. Who would have known that? Amen. Amen. God knew all about it. Can you say amen? It was his plan. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning and appreciate everybody being here with us. And just thankful for the goodness and the presence of the Lord that we feel. If you have your Bible and would like to read with me today concerning the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart, I'm going to be asking you to turn over to the book of Matthew. We're going to be reading from chapter 7 and begin with that 15th verse down through the 20th verse. And so Matthew chapter 7, beginning with that 15th verse. Amen, amen. When you got it, say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with the 15th verse. Jesus is speaking, and he says to those that were there and to us, he said, "Beware of false prophets." How many of you think maybe we have some of those in our day and time today? Amen. Amen. He's talking about individuals that come in ministry and individuals that come speaking in his name. He says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." In other words, Jesus is saying, amen, that things are not always what they appear to be. Can you say amen? So beware of false prophets which come to you saying all the right things. They got everything in place. Everything looks like it's, you know, on the up and up. But he said inwardly they are ravening wolves. How will we know them, Lord? How will we be able to identify them? Jesus says in the 16th verse, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." Ye shall know them by their fruit, by their actions, by their deeds. Then he says, "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" How many of you ever picked a fig out of a thistle bush? Never happened, right? Because you don't pick figs out of thistles. Then he says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit," he says, "is hewn down and cast into the fire." Let me key in on that 20th verse. "Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Therefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. This morning, I want to title my message, "Phony Fruit and Fake Grapes." Bow your heads, please, if you will, and let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we are thankful today for the opportunity to be here in the house of the Lord. We are thankful this morning, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt as you moved among us as we worshiped and sang praise unto your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your touch this morning. I pray that you would add a blessing to the reading of your word today, that you would empower me to speak as an instrument in your hand, that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would put your words in my mouth and let them come forth under the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And we all know, and I have said, without you, Lord, I can do nothing. Bless me to be a blessing. Let your word penetrate our hearts. Give us insight and understanding. Challenge us this morning with your word. God, reveal unto us anything that should not be within our hearts. I pray that everything that is said, everything that is done will be done to glorify Jesus and will be done to edify the body. Whether they are listening here in this house or whether they're listening on the internet, I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will speak to our lives through your word, and I will be forever grateful. And Lord, we all agree this morning and join our faith in asking in your wonderful name. And everyone in agreement said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Phony fruit and fake grapes. How many of you know this morning that things are not always what they appear to be? Amen. Sometimes we can glance at something on the surface, and the first glance can give us the appearance that everything looks right and that it is the real deal. But if you look a little closer, amen, appearances can be deceiving. And I submit to you this morning that we live in a world that is filled with fakes and phonies. For instance, furniture. Furniture used to be made of solid wood, right? Furniture used to be built out of a solid piece of wood. But in today's world, you would be hard-pressed to find a piece of furniture that was real wood. It's composite. It's particle board. Composite flooring, composite bookshelf, amen, desk, TV stands. They all look like the real thing. But in reality, they're more glue than they are wood. Hello? And then there is fake food, imitation crab meat. Hello? Really? Imitation butter. Imitation cheese. Does anybody really believe that Cheese Whiz is a natural product? And then there's the ever popular chicken nuggets. And I will confess to you right up front, I had no idea that chickens had nuggets. And I was raised on a farm. Right? There was a time that we once actually put maple syrup on our pancakes. But now there is a sugar-laced substance, amen, that's made of high fructose corn syrup, and it's nothing more than a high-octane sugar. It's an imitation. It smells like the real deal if you run it under your nose. It looks like the real thing. It even tastes somewhat like the real thing, but it's a phony. It's a fake. There was a time that we used to get our orange juice from fresh squeezed oranges. Not anymore. We have orange juice concentrate. And you know, just for kicks and giggles, I thought it would be fun to just read to you the label on a concentrate orange juice can. Listen to this. Ingredients. The number one ingredient is water. High fructose corn syrup. And get this. Less than 2% of each of the following concentrated juices. Orange, tangerine, apple, lime, and grapefruit. And then there is citric acid, ascorbic acid, beta carotene, thiamine chloride, natural flavorings, food starch. Why do I need food starch in my orange juice? Canola oil. get this one, cellulose gum. Do you know what cellulose gum is? It is a product made from wood. It is a product made from wood pulp. But it's fit for human consumption. I don't know. Xanthan gum, sodium, and I got a kick out of this because even spell check wouldn't even identify what it was. Hexametaphoric phthalate, sodium benzoate, and then, of course, to make it look right, it has color yellow dye number 5 and color yellow dye number 6. I said things are not always what they appear to be. It may look right. It may smell right. It might even taste like it's pretty good. But I'm going to tell you something. They are fakes and there are phonies. Fake wood, fake food. How about fake clothes and fake jewelry? There's fake fur, fake leather, fake diamonds, fake pearls, and on we could go. But we don't call those things fake. We call them faux. Faux is French for fake. It's still a fake. Hello? And some folks, and this is true of my wife and I, some folks like to have a bowl of fruit on display in the kitchen. When our kids were little, you know, we would have some fruit out there, and they'd come running through the house playing, and they'd grab a piece of fruit on the way out the door, and it seemed like that the bowl of fruit that was on display, it disappeared rather quickly. Well, the kids all growed up, moved out, and it's just me and the wife. And so we have that display, that bowl of fruit, you know. And sometimes it can go bad pretty quick because we don't eat it as quickly, amen, as it used to be eaten. So the fix, phony fruit and fake grapes. A few years ago, there was a pastor by the name of Ed Gunninger in Oklahoma, and he wrote a book called Religiously Transmitted Diseases. And it's a good read. I encourage you to read it. But in his book, Pastor Ed tells a story of going to a woman in his congregation's house. And while they were there, he invited his mother to go with him because his wife was unable to go. And so his mother went with him. They went to visit this lady in his congregation. And when they arrived, they were all seated around the kitchen table and they were visiting and they were having a great conversation. And the lady of the house and the mother went into the other room because the woman of the house wanted to show the mother something that she had been working on. And when they got up and excused themselves and went into the other room, on the table there was a bowl of grapes. And when they left, Pastor Ed reached over and plucked one of the grapes off and popped it into his mouth, and he started to chew, and he realized that there was something desperately wrong. It was a rubber grape. It looked real, but it didn't taste real. And there are other imposters that we could talk about this morning, like artificial turf and artificial flowers and counterfeit money and all kinds of fake things and all kinds of fake stuff out there, all kinds of phony things that look like the real thing. Amen. Smell sometimes like the real thing. Amen. But it's nothing more than an imitation. It's not the real thing. How many of you would prefer to have a real diamond over a CZ? Let me see your hand. You know why? Because even a good fake is still a fake. Let that sink in for just a moment. Even a good fake is still a fake. And I remind you, I'm not just talking about fake objects. Amen. What the Spirit of the Lord laid upon my heart is to talk about fake people who produce fake fruit. Amen. More specifically, let's talk about fake Christians and fake saints. Pastor Gary, what do you mean by fake Christians and fake saints? I'm talking about folks that are within the church. They're in the church world that are inconsistent and insincere in their actions, and individuals who do all of the right things, but for all of the wrong reasons. And sometimes we are guilty. I'm not talking about Christians who are striving to serve the Lord. I'm not talking about individuals, amen, that are trying to have a relationship with God and they have epic failures in their life. Let me just tell you, amen, I'm telling you, amen, we are all human and we all make mistakes and we all make failures. But what I'm talking about are those kind of individuals that are fake and phony on the inside, but everything looks like it's going right on the outside. I'm talking about counterfeit Christians, and instead of producing the fruit of the Spirit, amen, their fruit is a fake grape. It's a phony fruit. It's a put-on. It's an act. It's a counterfeit. It's an imitation. That's what Jesus is talking about. They have a fake joy. They have a fake and insincere praise. They have a fake smile and a superficial love. They have, amen, a fake brokenness and a phony concern for others. A fake holiness and an insincere worship. They do all of the right things, but on the inside, they are not what they appear to be. Jesus said, beware. Because there will come into your life individuals that are phony and fake. How will we know them, Lord? By the kind of fruit that they bear. By the kind of fruit that they produce. And there are some folks, amen, within the church that, I mean, they can sing right, they can shout right, they know all of the right words, they know all of the phraseology, they can do the Holy Ghost two-step with the best of them. I mean, they can lead the Jericho March. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. And they are as phony can be. How do you know that, Pastor Gary? Because the fruit doesn't line up. That's what John the Baptist said to the Pharisees when they came out, amen, to be baptized. John said, bring forth fruit, meat, or proof of your repentance. If you're going to come and be baptized and claim to have repented, then change your way and bring forth the kind of fruit that testifies that you have changed. Help me, Jesus. They look real. They look authentic. I had to laugh when the Lord was putting this message upon my heart. There was a TV commercial, you know, some time ago, and this guy walks out in a doctor's coat, and he says, I'm not a real doctor, I just play one on TV. How many of you have seen that commercial? And I thought of that commercial, and I went, and there are some Christian folks that would have to admit, there are times in their life when they would have to say, I'm not a real Christian, I just play one on Sunday. Amen. Hello? Hey, I'm telling you folks, amen, there are fake and there are phony grapes. Amen, and we need to be careful. The Pharisees are a prime example of what I'm talking about this morning. The Pharisees, and I'm going to tell you, Jesus gave the Pharisees a scathing rebuke in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew. And I'm going to teach just a little bit. Turn over there to Matthew chapter 23, would you? Turn over to Matthew chapter 23. And I'm just going to slowly go through this morning, amen, and just show you what Jesus said about these phony fruits and fake grapes. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They have Moses' law and Moses' authority. Because Christ, they were still under the law. How many of you know the Bible said that Jesus came made under the law, of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So faith through salvation, or faith and salvation through faith, had not yet been established because Christ had not yet been crucified. And Jesus conducted his ministry under the law. So he tells them, all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But, listen to this, but do not ye after their works. Don't follow their example. For they say and do not. And there are other translations, I'm sure, that puts it another way. But what Jesus was saying was they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They live by the do as I say and not as I do motto. Amen. He said, do not after their works, for they say and they do not do. In other words, they're telling others how to live, but they don't live it themselves. How phony can you get? What an indictment, Jesus says. Amen. He's saying to them, they talk the talk, but they don't know how to walk the walk. Look at verse 4. He said, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders. In other words, they just lay law after law after law after tradition, and they just load the cart down with do this and do that and do this and don't do that, and they just make it heavier and heavier and harder to serve God. And he said, but they themselves will not move one of their fingers to move them. In other words, amen, they weren't going to do anything to lighten the load of anyone. They were looking out for number one. Listen to verse number 5. But all their works, everything they do, all of their works they do to be seen of who? Who are they trying to impress? Men, not God. They weren't trying to please God. They were trying to impress you. Hello? But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. What in the world is a phylactery? It sounds almost pharmaceutical. What is a phylactery? Well, if you turn, and you don't have to, but if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4 through verse number 8, this is what the law said. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, God says to the children of Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all of thy might. And these words, the law, the words of the Lord, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, and you shall talk of them in the way, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Now listen to this next verse. He says, and you shall bind them upon thy hand. The precepts of God, the words of God, amen, the things that God has said, you shall bind them upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now what God was really saying was, remember my word, keep my word, put my word first, keep my word in the forefront of your mind, live by my word, walk by my word, teach my word, and make my word your focus. That's what he was saying. This is what they did. They took little scrolls and they would write the law on the scroll. And then they would roll it up and they would hang it from their left arm. And if it didn't hang from their left arm, because it said the forefront or the frontlets between thine eyes, they wore it like a headband, and the word would hang down on the scroll between their eyes like this. And Jesus was saying, they broaden or make broad their phylacteries. This wasn't good enough. They had to get a big one because bigger was better. You might not see that, but if you see this, you go, oh, that guy is really spiritual. Wow. Hello? That's exactly what he's saying. I mean, you know, the little phylactery wouldn't do. They had to get a great big one. I'm sure when they turned their head quickly, they'd knock somebody out. Right? And it really wasn't because they desired to have the word of God. It really wasn't because they wanted to have the word of God, amen, leading their life. They just wanted to others to see. They wanted to impress others. All that they do, Jesus said, they do to be seen of men. Amen. He says they broaden, make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments. All Hebrew men wore a robe. And the robe had tassels on the four corners of that robe, or the tallit, the prayer shawl. And they would enlarge the borders of their tallit. If a little tallit was good, a bigger one was better. And instead of having small tassels, get a big tassel. So when I walk, I look like the flying nun, and everything kind of sways. And everybody goes, wow, look at that guy. He is so spiritual. What a fake. What a phony. Jesus said they do their things to be seen of men. Look at verse number 5 or verse number 6. And they love the uppermost chambers, amen, and the rooms at feast time, and the chief seats in the synagogue. They wanted to be in the predominant places. They wanted to sit in places of esteem because they wanted to look important. They wanted others to think they were important. You understand something that's developing here, right? They're doing all of the right things for all of the wrong reasons. Amen. They're doing all of the right things, but doing all of it for the wrong reason. Jesus said in verse number 7, and they love greetings in the marketplace, and they love to be called rabbi, rabbi. You know what rabbi means? It means my great one, my master, my teacher. Oh, they love that. Somebody calling me a great one. Hello? I love to be called master and teacher. Oh, baloney. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I am no more than you are. Amen. I'm not a great one. I'm not a master. I'm just, amen, an individual that's been called to preach the word of the Lord. Amen. And I stumble and I fall just like you do. But if you watch, I'll get up and just keep right on going. Amen. What I'm talking about this morning, amen, is knowing a fake from the real thing. Jesus said, you hypocrites. And he begins to call them out. Look at verse number 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you phony grapes, you phony fruit, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You don't go in yourself, and neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in either. In other words, you won't really do the right thing yourself for the right reason, and you hinder everybody else that wants to go in and have a relationship with God. How many of you know hypocrisy is one of the greatest reasons why some folks declare they don't want to go to church? I don't want to go to church. There's too many hypocrites. Am I preaching the truth? Yes. Right? Well, we're being like the Pharisees. We won't really go in ourselves. Amen. And we're hindering others from going in. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. And listen to this. And for a pretense, you make long prayers. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Hello? He said you make long prayers. Why? Because you really want God to listen? No, because you want everybody to hear how spiritual you are, how important you are. He said, therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. In other words, Jesus is saying, Amen. I have you marked. I know what's ripe fruit and what's real fruit and what's phony fruit. Fake grape ain't gonna deter the Lord. Verse number 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass the sea and land to make one proselyte. You go out of your way compassing sea and land to make one convert. And when you make that convert, he said, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. In other words, when you make the new convert, you make him twice as fit for hell as you are. I'm telling you, this is a scathing indictment. Right? Woe unto you, scribes. Look at verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And then he said, these things ought you to have done. You should have paid tithe on your mint and anise and cumin. You should have done those things, but you shouldn't have left the other undone. Ye blind guides that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Boy, I'm telling you, is that not descriptive? I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but have you ever met anybody that was so legal that they just strain at the smallest little thing? And yet they couldn't see the beam in their own eye. Hello? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter. You want everything to look good on the outside, even though it's falling apart on the inside. Long as the outside looks good. Long as the outside's okay. Everybody knows I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Who are you trying to impress? God or men? Because I'm going to tell you, God already knows. He already knows that it's fake fruit. He already knows that it's fake grapes. He said, you blind, amen, guides, you make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse that which is within the cup and the platter. In other words, get the inside cleaned up, and the inside will automatically clean up the outside. How many of you know it is not hard serving the Lord? You have to have the Holy Spirit come into your heart, come into your life, and when the Holy Ghost comes in to your heart and your life, he'll change you from the inside out. Hallelujah. It's not an outside in kind of thing. It's a invite Jesus into your heart, and when he gets on the inside, he'll start working on the outside. Amen. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are like, listen to this, you are like unto whited sepulchres. That's a white tomb, a burying place for a dignitary. He said, you are like white sepulchres, which appear beautiful outwardly, like a beautiful encasement or tomb for a dignitary, made of pillars of marble, and it's beautiful and it's white and it's gorgeous. But he said, inside you are full of dead men's bones. Inside you are not beautiful. Inside you are full of dead men's bones. Let me read verse 26 or verse 28. Even so, he said, also outwardly you appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. What he was saying was, you are a phony. You look right, smell right, and maybe even taste a little right, but you are a fake, you are a fraud, you are, amen, a wolf in sheep's clothing. You are phony fruit and a fake grape. And can I just remind you this morning that, amen, plastic fruit and rubber grapes, amen, there is no nutritional value in them. You know why some folks, amen, don't feel any fellowship in some churches? Because it's fake fruit. And there's no nutrition in their testimony. There's no nutritional value in their life because they are filled with phony and fake themselves. And it's just an outward show. Amen. How many of you love me this morning? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, this is heavy. Holy cow. I don't know if there is such a thing as a holy cow, but I'm like, man, Lord, this is rough. And you know what he said to me? No, it ain't rough, only if you're producing fake fruit. Phony fruit and fake grapes. You know what all of these things in chapter 23 have in common? This is what they have in common, two things. They made a special effort to appear a certain way in front of others. Number two, the person being spoken of was not the same on the inside as they appeared to be on the outside. That's what they had two common things in common. Everything that he spoke. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus forgave repentant prostitutes. How many of you remember when they brought the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, brought her and throwed her down at the feet of Jesus and said, Moses' law demands that she be stoned. What do you say? And Jesus, the Bible said, didn't answer any of them. He just stooped down and began to write on the ground. Stood up and said, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they turned around and they started leaving. And there wasn't nobody there but the woman that they had caught in adultery. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, they've all gone. I have none. He said, I don't condemn you either. Really? In other words, he was willing to forgive even the adulteress. Neither do I condemn thee either. Just be real. I mean, if she'd have stood up and said, well, you know they brought me here, but it really was under false pretenses, Lord. I'm telling you right now, I'm not guilty. He might have picked up a rock and stoned her. Right? But what happened? She was real. She was honest. She was honest before the Lord. And he said, I know you're human. I know you're flesh. And I forgive you. Go your way and sin no more. Amen. She got up and went on her way. Amen. What I'm talking about is Jesus gave forgiveness, amen, or forgiveness and repentance to those that asked for repentance. But the one thing that he could not tolerate was the fake and the phony. He could not tolerate a person who acted one way in front of others and really was different on the inside. Jesus called them hypocritical and called them hypocrites. This morning, let me just ask you, what about the Pharisee that we see in the mirror every day? Because we sometimes are very quick to point out others' faults, and we're very quick to point out where they are falling short. But what about the Pharisee that's in the mirror every morning looking back at us? What about the Pharisee in me and the Pharisee in you doing the right thing for the wrong reason? What do you mean, Pastor Gary? Have you ever been motivated to do the right thing with the wrong perspective or with the wrong motive? Have you ever given in the offering because someone was looking? You don't have to hold your hand up or testify. Or they're like, oh my God, he's going to ask for hands. Hello? Have you ever spoke so that someone could overhear your wisdom and know how wonderfully spiritual you were and what a wonderful wise word that was? Hello? Have you ever done... help me, Jesus. Have you ever done something to impress somebody else besides the Lord? That's phony fruit. That's rubber grapes. Has no nutritional value. And you know, while the Lord was putting this in my heart, I thought to myself, I don't know why the human nature is so dead set on trying to impress others, when ultimately, when we stand before the throne, your opinion of me ain't going to matter worth a hill of beans. It don't matter what you think of me. He's going to know the truth, and he's going to know my heart, and he's going to judge me according to my heart, not according to your opinion of me. So why are we so,
I started to say something I probably shouldn't say.
Why are we so bent on impressing somebody else? Because we are Pharisaical. Because that Pharisee lives in us too. We want others to think highly of us. Oh, I'm just here to tell you this morning, amen, God is all about our motives. Get that in your spirit. Get that in your heart. God is all about not what we do, but what motivated us to do it. Does that make sense? I mean, if we done something to a good act or a good deed of kindness that was motivated out of love and concern, amen, God is pleased with that. That's what he is all about. But if we done something good to be seen or patted on the back from someone else, we're like the Pharisees. All of their acts and all that they do were to be done so that men could see them and give them honor. Oh, I tell you this morning, God is all about our motives. Let me just share a story from the scripture that shows what I'm talking about. It's found in Acts chapter 5. There was a husband and wife named Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias and Sapphira owned a piece of property. And the Bible tells the story in the 5th chapter of the book of Acts that they sold the property. And the husband, Ananias, he came in before the apostles and he said, "We've sold a piece of property and we want to give the money to the church." Peter said, "That's wonderful. Wow." You won't really find that in scripture. I'm just sort of embellishing. "That's great. Wow, is this all?" Ananias said, "Oh yes, we've held nothing back. This is the whole sum." And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit, the Bible said, struck him dead and he fell to the floor because he lied. And young men, the Bible said, wound him up in some material and hauled him out and buried him. The wife came in 3 hours later, Sapphira. And Peter said, "Was this all? I mean, was this the whole amount?" And she said, "Yes, it was the entire amount. We sold the property and we gave it all to the church." Peter said, "Why have you and your husband conspired to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Not to men. He said, "You're lying to God. Why have you conspired against and lied against the Holy Ghost, or lied to the Holy Ghost?" And then Peter said something to her that probably made everybody's jaw drop. He said, "The same feet that carried your husband out will carry you out." And she dropped dead. Right there, and they wound her up in cloth and took her out and buried her. Now listen, their sin was not that they sold the property and didn't give it all to the church. It was, in fact, Peter said, it was your property when it was in your power. You had the right to do with it what you wanted to do with it. And after you sold it, you had the right to do with whatever you wanted to do with the money. It wasn't the fact that they sold the property and didn't give all of the proceeds to the church. What was the problem? They wanted to appear to others like they were so committed that they had given all of it. They wanted everybody to think that they were so committed to the Lord and so committed to the things of God that they sold the property and they gave it all away. Amen. God was sick of their hypocrisy. He slew them for their phony fruit. He slew them for their fake grapes. Their sin was not that they had sold the property and hadn't given it to the church. Their sin was they had conspired together to deceive the apostles and the church into thinking that they were giving the entire amount when in fact they had kept back a portion. In other words, they were trying to impress everyone with a higher level of spirituality and commitment than what they really had. And my question to us this morning is, have we ever been guilty of trying to impress others with our commission, our commitment, and our devotion to Christ when in reality we know in our heart that we are exaggerating? If we have, that's fake fruit. That's fake grapes. That's phony fruit. Now, how can you tell the difference? Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruit." You'll know them by their actions. You do not gather grapes of thorns or fig from thistles. A good tree, he says, cannot bring forth anything but good fruit. And a corrupt tree will not, cannot, and will never produce good fruit. It's only going to produce corrupt fruit. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. So how can you tell? How many of you know if you examine a piece of furniture real closely, you can tell whether it's real wood or whether it's particle board? If you read the labels, you can tell whether it's real food, if it's really natural, or you can tell what kind of junk's been added to it. If you look real close at a strand of pearls, you can tell the fake from the real. Hello? So how do we know the difference between phony fruit and fake grapes and the real thing? We have to hang around it long enough to know what it's really producing. I have told this little illustration to my children and to others over and over, because I live by it. Paul said to Timothy, he said, "Lay hands on no man suddenly." That doesn't mean just, you know, don't reach out and grab somebody quickly. What he was saying was, don't accept people at face value. Lay hands on no man. Don't approve anyone suddenly. Don't go, "Oh, I like them. Wow. Ooh, they're good people. I'm telling you." Get to know them. Spend a little time with them. You'll find out whether it's phony grapes or if it's the real deal. In the wintertime, you can look at a tree. You say, "You know, it's a fruit tree of some kind, I can tell you that. Might be an apple, might be a peach, could be a pear. Maybe it's a plum, but I think it's a fruit tree." Stick around long enough, February passes, March comes, and it starts to bloom. "Yep, I knew it. It's a fruit tree." Do you know what kind of fruit it is? "Nope, not yet. But it's got all these blooms, and I can tell it's a fruit tree. It's starting to set on little buds or little blossoms." Do you know what kind of fruit it is? "No, not yet." Stick around. Hang around for a little while. Summer comes and it's an apple. "Yep, I thought it was an apple tree. Look at that, it's an apple." "What kind of apple is it?" "Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a Granny Smith, if it's a Jonathan. I don't know." "Well, hang around. Could be a Fuji. Could be a Gala." Right? What allows you to determine what it really is? Just hanging out with it in time. And pretty soon, whatever it is will reveal itself. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Amen. We need to attach ourselves to people that are producing real fruit. Holy Spirit fruit. People who have the joy of the Lord. People who have, amen, the joy of God's Spirit in their heart. People who have, amen, temperance. And people who have long-suffering. And people who are gentle and kind. And people, because people can put on the dog all day long. Get them, amen, get them behind the scenes and bite into the fruit. And brother, amen, what oozes out is not Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? So how do you know? Hang around it for a little while. It'll tell you what it is. The older I get, the less attention, my wife will verify this, the older I get, the less attention I pay attention to what people say. And I just watch what they do. Because what they do reveals who they are. Are you listening to me? Amen. And I want us this morning to understand that God desires for us to produce real Holy Ghost fruit in our life. And what happens when we produce or when we eat real, wonderful, nutrition-filled fruit? It blesses the body. That's what happens when others, amen, taste the fruit of our lives. They taste the nutrition. They taste the real. I mean, you know, people in the world are going to be quick to point out, amen, you know, well, you're a Christian. You shouldn't have done that and all this kind of thing. What, you know what you need to teach them? Just that I made a mistake. I blew it. I failed. I repented. And I'm going to go on with the Lord. Amen. And thank God he forgives. Amen. But don't try to appear to be something that you're not really on the inside. You're nothing but a phony. Nothing but a hypocrite. Practice what you preach. Walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk. Be careful that you do not do your acts of good service and righteousness before the Lord so others can see. It's not about sounding a trumpet before you. I'm giving in the offering now. I've done my part. And everybody goes, oh. And you received your part. And when you stand before the Lord, he goes, yeah, I saw. But I know why you did it. I know what your motive was. So why are you trying to impress them? You didn't impress me. Okay, I'm going to close. That's rough, isn't it? I mean, that's a tough word. I pray, I ask the Lord, I said, Father, please help me to deliver this in love. But I know it's the truth because it scathes a couple of places in me. I know it's the truth, Lord, but help me to just impart it so that folks understand that it's a reality of your word and it's a reality of your truth. It's not my opinion. It's not because I'm trying to be harsh or trying to be, you know, down my finger. I want us to produce good fruit. I don't want phony bananas and phony grapes and, you know, phony fruit at Elevation Worship Center. I want us to have a sincere love and a sincere concern and a sincere desire to reach others and a sincere heart to, amen, to bring people together and to bring them to Jesus and to bring others into the fellowship of his love. That I want people to have real. The only thing that's going to do that is real fruit. I want us to have real fruit on the inside. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Michael McDonald. No, I'm just kidding. There ain't nothing like the real thing. I mean, when you get a look and a taste of the real thing, you ever run your hands across a real mink? Oh, that's beautiful. A real diamond. Real pearls, real luscious fruit. Ain't nothing like the real thing. Give them Jesus. Don't give them phony fruit and fake grapes. It'll make all of the difference in the world, in their life. Bow your heads, please. We probably need some music, really. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for challenging us. Thank you for warning us. Thank you for your word that speaks truth into our lives. This morning, Heavenly Father, I pray that we take a look on the inside and ask ourselves, are we producing real fruit? Or are we just doing the right thing with the wrong motive? And Lord, others may be fooled by our imitation acts, but you are not. Help us to understand it's not about impressing others, but it's about impressing you. It's about allowing you to live in and through us and doing the right thing for the right reason and with the right motive. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I pray this little prayer in Jesus' name. Are you here this morning and you would say, Pastor Gary, I got some rubber grapes on my table. God sees your hand. I got some phony fruit in my life. God sees the hands that are going up. Thank you. There's some phony places in my life. Oh, if he came down and talked to me like he talked to the Pharisees, I'd be so embarrassed. God bless you. Stand to your feet. Hands have been lifted all over the building this morning. Hands have been lifted all over the building this morning. Let me pray with you. Those that lift your hands, let me pray with you. Jesus, Lord, we have acknowledged the fake grapes in our life. We've acknowledged the phony fruit in our life. Lord, we repent. We ask for your mercy to cover us, for your grace to be extended toward us, that our heart be washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that our heart, Lord, would produce the right kind of fruit with the right motive for the right reason. Lord, I pray that you would point out the Pharisee in me, the Pharisee in the mirror. The one who is so willing to point out the faults of others but refuses to see the error in our own way and in our own life. Speak to us here this morning. Wash us and make us clean. Cleanse us and make us free. Let our hearts and our lives produce fruit that are proof of our repentance, that testify of our genuine relationship with Jesus, that others may see the right kind of fruit in us. I ask it in Jesus' name. I ask it in Jesus' name. Hands lifted all over the building. Give him thanks and give him praise this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.